You've got your allowance.
It's been a hard week. Okay.
Nothing will happen if you stay on. They will cancel tomorrow. But nothing will happen. We might cancel Monday.
Monday might cancel. Yeah.
You must do it once in a while. Catch up.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Okay, good morning. We continue in Sefer Shoftim. We have concluded the discussion of Yiftach. Now we're on Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Ches. We'll be introduced to, very briefly, to three Shoftim. So on Pasuk Ches, Vayishpot Acharov, Es Yisrael, Iftson Mi Beis Lochem. And the next Shofet, who judged the Jewish people, his name was Iftson, Aleph Beis Tzadi Nun Sofis Iftson, Mi Beis Lechem, from Beis Lechem. Beis Lechem, we know, is in the portion of Yehuda. So now we finally have a leader coming from Yehuda. Things have been more by Ephraim, and I guess, you know, we kind of had Menashe, Ephraim, and you know what, I think after such a bloodbath, and how things really degenerated, perhaps Jewish people realized that leadership was going to have to come from a different part. So Yehuda, which ultimately kings will come from this, so we see for the first time Shoftim coming from Yehuda. Now, something very unusual is described here. Vayhilo shloshim banim u'shloshim banos. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. Now, the 30 daughters... So the 30 daughters, u'shloshim banos, shilach hachutza. He sent them away. What does it mean he sent them away? He married them off to other men, obviously. They don't stay in the house. They get married to go somewhere else. U'shloshim banos, hevi levanov min hachutz. And 30 daughters, he brought for his sons from outside to get married to them. So, you know... I didn't see anybody who discussed this. It seems a little bit odd. You know, why do you have to say, you know, he sent them hachutza? I mean, just say he married them off. What do you mean he sent them hachutza? He sent them away. And then he brought daughters. He brought them from the outside. It's kind of a strange discussion. Could be. It's interesting. There's no Malbim. Usually have Malbim on every Pasuk. We haven't had a Malbim since Pasuk Dalet, and there are no Malbims till the end, which usually would deal with these sensitive issues over here. So the only thing that we have over here is the Metzudas David says, and even that it's in brackets, it says, it tells us the great success this fellow had. He was able to marry off all his sons, even though he had a lot of them, marry off all his daughters, even though he had a lot of them. It seems, you know, Shilach Hachutza, seems he went out of the tribe to find women for his wives for his sons, and he was able to send his daughters as well out. So he was dealt beyond just the privacy of his own shevet. Vayishpot es Yisrael sheva shanim. And he judged the people 7 years. Vayomos Iftson died. Vayikover beveis lachem and was buried in Beis Lechem. So there's not a lot said about this shofet. Again, these ones that there's not a lot always, you know, strikes many questions. What are you telling us about? You know, what is there anything to learn from this? So.
No wars, no conflicts, no nothing.
Doesn't say. We will see that there was. We will see when we start learning about Shimshon that the Plishtim gave the Jews trouble, and we'll see exactly how it was before Shimshon came around. So then it was during some of the Shoftim, which we will discuss. So, what is the message over here? So, one perhaps So again, all we have about it doesn't even tell us about him being a shofet. Just says he had a lot of kids, a lot of daughters, a lot of sons, a lot of daughters. He ruled 7 years. He's buried in Beis Lechem. Fine. So on the one hand, you may say that it's contrasting him to the shofet before, which was Yiftach. Yeah. Yiftach only had one daughter, and she didn't raise anybody. So there's nothing came after Yiftach. He didn't continue his progeny. And the shofet, who comes 20 years from now, a little more than 20 years from now, Shimshon was an only child to his parents, who couldn't have children either. He only had one. So you see that a blessing of children is a gift from Hashem. And Hashem wants to give, or doesn't want to give, as Hashem wants it to be. And we're going to see it very shortly. There's another shofet coming up in the next couple psukim over here. We're going to have Avdon HaPirasoni had 40 sons and 30 grandsons. So able to have a lot of children. So you see that's a blessing as well. And it's interesting. The Tanit Eliyahu brings down, it's a medrash. He brings lots and lots of pages and basically says, you know, whenever the Jewish people do what they're supposed to do, God blesses them greatly. And it goes through different times in Jewish history. So he says, when the Jewish people, when they sinned, and then they did tshuva in the desert, so then they... when they saw the cloud of glory and they bowed down. So we see they did tshuva secretly, and therefore Hashem had mercy on them and gave them Yom Kippur for Mechila and Slicha. Fine, whenever Jews do something good, Hashem pays them back. So the one that pertains to us says, so it was in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, when the Jewish people accepted upon themselves the yoke of heaven with great love. As it says at the end of Sefer Yoshua, the people answered when Yeshua reprimanded them at the end, and said, you better make sure to stay in line. And Jewish people said, God forbid we'd never leave Hashem and to serve other gods. For Hashem is our God who took us out of Mitzrayim. The reward is, for what? For what did they do? They accepted upon themselves the yoke of heaven. Therefore, Hashem, you know, showed a lot of mercy for them for hundreds of years during the times of the Shoftim. You know, for that one good act, that gave you, now you wonder, like, you know, God really had a lot of patience with them, up and down, up and down, up and down. Why? Because, you know, there was one time of sincerity. So, you know, it gives you a ticket to ride for hundreds of years. And also Hashem made them like Tinoko Shobes Rabban, meaning to say little young children in school who never sinned. And like children on his table, he established blessings for them in unbelievable ways. As we see that Yoshua blessed them and sent them on their way. So then the Mishnah says, so how do we know that that's how it was? That they really were blessed? So take a look and see from Gidon ben Yoash. How many kids did Gidon have?
Seventy.
Remember?
Seventy, that's right.
Remember? Wow. Problem is, his son killed 70. All of them. Yeah. His son, but he
only
did.
Only one was left. Yeah,
he did have some children. And also, Me'ivtson, we learned from Ivtson. Umay, he says, Umay Avdon ben Hillel HaPirasoni. At that time, Gidon, it says he had 70 children, Ivtson had 30 boys and 30 girls, and Avdon, who had 40 sons and 30 grandchildren. So, you know, you see that there's blessing. So parenthetically, we're told that there was great blessings. And there were those
were good people.
Those were those who had great blessings. So that's an interesting comment. And we see, you know, obviously those had great blessings, and others, such as Yiftach, wasn't blessed. Shimshon wasn't blessed. Okay, that's nice. But now we go to something much deeper. And the Medrash tells us something very fascinating. This Ivtson, if you ask people, ask Jewish people, like, trivia, who's Ivtson? I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of the guy. It's such a strange name. It's, I don't know. So, and we don't even know who his father is.
Doesn't say.
You know. It's interesting. Until now, we always knew their fathers. It just struck me right now. You know, who Yiftach's father was. I always tell you who the father is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
So Bet Lechem doesn't give away anything?
From Beis Lechem. He's from Beis Lechem.
He doesn't give anything away.
But Ifson is kind of, that's interesting, you know, Elon as well, they don't say it. And Avdon, but Avdon is Ben Hillel, so we know that. But it's interesting, they don't give the father's names. Mm. Be that as it may, the Medrash says something fascinating. Ifson Zeb Boaz. Ifson is better known as Boaz.
Ooh.
Who is Boaz?
We have Boaz.
Already remember, where is Boaz? That's not much more popular
around.
Yes, from the book of Ruth. Boaz was the one who married Ruth. Right? The whole story of Ruth, where Ruth and Naomi sends Ruth, Boaz befriends Ruth, and he was related to Naomi and the family. And, you know, I'm not going to go through the whole story of Ruth again, but, you know, there was the time where after he was friendly to her, so Naomi sent Ruth to go to Boaz as he slept by the threshing floor and to go and make efforts to seduce him for the purpose of the marriage of Yibum, of the Levirate marriage, to redeem the souls of the departed husbands who had died. So, and Boaz indeed married her. And the whole thing, he made a whole public spectacle. He said, I'm not going to deal with you now. She came to him very discreetly in the threshing floor area. And he said, well, we have to do this properly. And he controlled himself at the time. And then the next day, he went publicly and said, well, there's someone else who's in line before me to do this mitzvah. He offered to the other person who wants it. And Boaz did it himself. And he married Ruth. And of course, we know what came from that. Right? Came a child, and then another child, and then David HaMelech. So this is the Boaz.
So that's Ifson?
That is Ifson.
Wow.
That's the whole. In other words, I have nothing to tell you here. Take a look in the book of Ruth, and there's lots to talk about. So the book of Ruth took place during the tail end period of the times of the Shoftim. All right. So that's very interesting. But again, the question is, what is there to teach us? So the commentaries say the following, and now we're going to see what there is to be learned from this.
One question.
Yeah.
Why did he have 30 daughters and 30 sons if he married Ruth?
Very good question. Excellent question. Well, he married Ruth because he had a mitzvah. It was a special mitzvah. Remember, if a man dies, doesn't have children, then now in the Torah tells us that, you know, the brother marries this woman to have children. It's mitzvah, mivum. And in the times of the Shoftim, it was expanded to close relatives. If there's no brother, even a close relative. He was a relative, so he performed a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. But let's see that you're on the right track here. So they tell us the following. It's the Gemara. Rabbi Barahuna says, in the name of Rav, that Ifson is Boaz. So the Gemara says, my kamashman, why do I need to know this? What do I care? Do we learn anything special from this? So they say, yes. We see that Boaz made 120 celebratory parties for his children. Because we know, we just learned, he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, and he married them all off. And he married this, and they seem to be out of town weddings, right? That's what it seems to be, out of town weddings. Well, since it's out of town weddings, so therefore, for each child who got married, he made two parties, one in his house and one in the mechutin's house, one in the in-laws house. 120 parties throughout his life. Things are going pretty well. And in all of these parties, he did not invite a particular person. He did not invite Manoach. Who is Manoach? You will be introduced to him next week. He was the father of Shimshon, Samson. Why did he not invite him? So the Gemara says, he is a barren mule, meaning to say he has no children, And therefore, if he has no kids, he'll never wind up inviting me to one of his children's weddings. So, you know, why should I add to the guest list? You know, we invite people, hopefully they will invite us back. There'll be reciprocity. So since he's never going to have, he doesn't have any children, but my poorly, what will he pay me back? You know, I'll invite him to all these weddings. It's a, you know, at least you invite guests. So, you know, okay, so then they'll invite me to his parties. So now we go on. What happened? More continues. And all of his children, all 60 children, died in his lifetime for this. And this teaches us a very important lesson. And this is what people say, that at the end of the day, if 60 children die, what did you gain by having them? Like an expression that people had. You know, you see a guy with 60 kids and they die. It wasn't like a violent death like the 70 children of Gidon. They all died, whether that sicknesses, accidents, or place, I don't know. So it says, you know, the fact that in your life you gave birth to 60 kids, but what do you need 60 if they all die in your lifetime? So what did he do? He married another woman, and he had one, right, that was better than the other 60. Married Ruth, he had the other 60.
He had three with Ruth.
He had one.
Three.
He had one kid with Ruth.
Only one?
Then so that son had another son, and then another son, and then David HaMelech. Uh-huh. All right. So that came out of that. He only had one son. So that's very fascinating. But again, it's difficult to understand that. So first of all, the rabbis right away said, if you're telling me that Yiftson is Yiftach, why are you telling me this? We have to learn something from this. So what did we learn from it? So we learned that his kids, so you're just finding more trivia. Alright, so he had 60 kids, they all died. So then he married another one and was better than the other 60. So the Rashbam, one of the commentaries on the Gemara, elaborates. And he says, the fact that it says that all of Ifson's children died in his life, and we know that Ifson is Boaz, and from Boaz he married Ruth. Now listen to this. There's conflicting midrashim here. I'm going to go according to one way here. So he said he married Ruth even though he had 60 children.
So they were still alive when he
according married. To this midrash, according to the Rashbam, he's saying he had the 60 kids. He had plenty on his plate. And he also, the mitzvah comes to marry Ruth, so he does the mitzvah. So this teaches us a very famous rule that the Gemara Yavama says, that if a person gets married in his youth, and then he gets older, he should marry in his old age as well. In those days, he could have more than one wife. So I know some ladies here may not understand what's going on over here, may not appreciate what's going on over here. But you married a woman in your youth, and you had your 60 kids with her, or you had a number of wives in your youth. We know Boaz was quite old when he married Ruth. So if you got married in your youth, you should get married in your older age. Because, you know, the type of children you produce in your youth are one type of children. And the type of children you produce in your old age is another type of children. We're not going to go elaborate on that. But Ifson, so now, and the Gemara says, like, and the example is, like Ifson, which is Boaz. Because he was afraid that maybe his children would die in his lifetime, and there'd be no memory of him. Right? But so that we could learn, but if it wouldn't say that Ifson is Boaz, we would not say Ifson is Boaz, so what would you think? So we think that Ifson didn't marry anybody else, and Boaz never had any kids. In other words, without this little link that Ifson is Boaz, well, why do you need to know Ifson is Boaz? So what would you think if you didn't have that? Well, you say there was this guy Ifson, he had 60 kids. Fine, that's a nice piece of information. Another piece of information, we know Boaz. When Boaz is taught to us in the book of Ruth, we don't know anything about him. We just know one thing, he was wealthy, he had a lot of money, He was nice to Ruth. He married Ruth. He had a kid. You figure, okay, Ivtson had 60 kids and Boaz had one kid. Two people, one of them to do with the other. But I say that Ivtson is Boaz. So we now understand that Boaz wasn't satisfied only with having the 60 children in his lifetime, but he also had children in his old age, which is Boaz having a child with Ruth. So it's interesting. The Gemara in Baba Basra says that at the time that Ruth came back to Eretz Yisrael, at that time Boaz's wife died. So Boaz's wife died, and he's got the 60 kids. And Boaz was in his old age without a wife. So therefore Hashem prepared for him a proper wife to build the kingdom of the house of David, which was Ruth. So therefore he brought her into to him through the whole mechanism of the mitzvah of Yibum, the levirate marriage that was conducted even with the close, with a more distant relative. And this is Boaz and the whole story that happened over there. So therefore, we fulfill in Boaz the words of Koheles. This is all from a Gemara, from a pasuk in Koheles that says, you should seed in the morning your seeds, and don't slack off in the nighttime, in the evening. That's what David, because you don't know which one's going to be better than the other one. That's what it says in Koheles. Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech could appreciate that because he's a great-great-grandson of Boaz. So you see, that's the story. And it comes that only that one was the one that was worthy to be a king in his old age, because he gave birth through Ruth to Oved, who's the father of Yishai, who's the father of David. And that's how it came. And David HaMelech came into power 59 years after Ivtson gave birth to Yishai. So you see, 59 years later, this old, you know, I'm old, I'm getting old in life. I've done my bit. I've had my kids. Now I'm on retirement and pension. I don't have much more to do. He says, what are you talking about? You just, prime of life. You have a kid in your old age. And you never know. He had 60 kids. He says, I had enough. I did my thing. I fulfilled the mitzvah to be fruitful and multiply. He said, no. Don't give up. Have another one. You never know, that last one could be better than all the other ones you've had. Especially you're more mature, your spiritual energies are stronger, maybe your physical energies are less, but your spiritual energies are stronger. So that's very interesting. So already you're learning a very powerful lesson that, you know, even when you get older, you should still have children. And you never know, you can have fantastic children. The Baal Shem Tov's father was 100 years old when he gave birth to the Baal Shem Tov. And he died when the Baal Shem Tov was 6. So, you know, it seems that Baal Shem Tov could not come to a person who was young, someone who really developed spirit. I'm sure the Baal Shem Tov's mother was much younger. But you see, some good things can happen later on in life.
No grandchildren from the 60 kids?
I don't know. I don't know exactly when they died. I don't know the details. Yeah. Could be there were no grandchildren. I don't know. But nobody important came from that. Mm-hmm. But let's also now, that's one very powerful lesson. Another very powerful lesson is there's a tremendous amount of Musar we can learn from this. Ivtson did not invite anybody to Beis Lechem from Shevet Dan. Right? Obviously, he didn't invite people from Shevet Dan, which was the city of, which had Manoach. He did not invite Manoach. That's what the Medrash says. And so the Medrash, Rabbeinu Gershon over there says, because he didn't feel like he'd get a benefit of that. So the Rabbeinu Gershon says, Ulfisha, Hayu Omer Kach, Ivtson Ir Lo Kach. Since he said that, look what happened. He lost his 60 kids. From all the 120 parties, there's no memory at all. All his sons and daughters died in their lifetime. And juxtaposed to that, Manoach ended up having a kid. While Ivtson was alive, someone who is greater than the 60 children. So it's interesting, there's two different pshatim. So one pshat, they're not contradictory. He had 60 kids, they died, and then he had one that was better than the 60, that was the one he had, Oved, brought to you Yishai and David, And you also have Manoach, who had one kid who was better than his 60 kids. So you see, you gotta wonder, look, what shaykhus, what connection did Yiftson have to the family of Manoach? Yiftson's in Yehuda, Manoach's in Don, another Shevet, another city, another Yichus. So he really had no reason to invite him. And could be Manoach never anticipated being invited. Because Boaz, now we know he's Boaz, Boaz was the Gadol HaDor, he was the leader of the generation. He was the Shofet. So you think the Shofet invites every Tom, Dick, and Harry? So he didn't invite Manoach, but must be Manoach was somebody that even, like, imagine, you're the President of the United States, he's on making a wedding. Okay, Joe Schmo, who lives in Bartsfield, California, I'm not going to invite him to the wedding. No, I'm not inviting him on my list. How does he even get onto the list, even think, to cross off? The fact that he contemplated Manoach means Manoach must have been somebody. Right? So, but the fact is, Hashem understood that he didn't want to invite him. And could be if Tzan knew about Manoach. And the truth of the matter is, the city that Manoach lived in, Sira, which was on the Shevet Dun, which is on the boundary to Shevet Yehuda, could be wasn't so far away. And more than that, the wife of Manoach was from Shevet Yehuda. So there seemed to be a lot of mixing between Yehuda and Dun, which we'll explain next week why, and it's a very important thing. So, and it could also be that if son, it must be, he knew about the fact that Manoach's wife couldn't have any kids, because he calls him a mule that can't have any kids. So he didn't invite him. So he learned something very important, that because Manoach was so unfortunate that didn't have any children, so we see from this, Boaz should have invited him to the Simcha. Should have invited him. And should have given him the proper honor and respect. Even though they weren't that close. So you can see, and you see when a big person makes a big mistake, God is very particular in dealing with them. And you can see what kind of great tragedies can happen. So Hashem saw the fact Manoach, there must have been some connection, they must have known each other. And Manoach must have felt some hurt. The Radak says, Hashem must have seen the suffering of Manoach. And 16 years after Boaz dies, Shimshon already becomes spiritually strong to begin to save the Jewish people. So this whole bringing of Shimshon is all a result of Yiftson's apparent cruelty that happened to him. So there's more to talk about, and there is a little bit more to develop in this Yiftson. But already, even so, just from this little amount, we see that there's a lot there. And you have to be very careful, no matter how successful you are and you're such. But you see how interesting that Yiftson, who was Boaz, when he had 60 kids, so you're seeing a little bit of both. You see there's a complaint to him, and he suffered because of that. You can have a great life, but you know you forget about the needs. You're not sensitive to one person. You see what retribution can happen. Yet on the other hand, even when you have it all, you better make sure. It's interesting, as much as he didn't have a chesed to Manoach, he did show a chesed to Rus.
That's true.
Because who was Rus? Rus was the shiksa who married his relatives, who converts. You can imagine what kind of conversion they were thinking it was. So there's more to talk about. He did a chesed to Rus. So it's interesting how God, on the one hand, can let you have it. You didn't do chesed, and boom! 60 children dying. On the other hand, you do a chesed to Rus, and you get David HaMelech. So you can see, big people, it's high stakes. High stakes. To the one extreme, and to the other extreme. So we'll continue, Mirtz Hashem. Tomorrow is, and I'm pretty sure, check the calendar, I don't think I'm going to be giving class next Monday. But tomorrow we'll be continuing in the Tanya. And Monday I think we're going to take a day off, and we'll resume on Tuesday. Okay.